Phil, what we are seeing out of the Biden administration and the left as a whole, generally speaking, is their desire to micromanage every facet of our daily lives. We're going to talk about a number of areas where they're moving in that direction, starting out with electric vehicles. Once again, by fiat, the Biden administration is wanting to put a limit on the number of gas-powered vehicles here. Want to tell us what their goal is?
It's pretty remarkable. We're looking at such massive, lavish subsidies that you might think, oh, electric vehicle fares are just going to go up and up and up and up as they had been for the past several years. I mean, there's all-in subsidies now between the tax and regulatory subsidies, state and federal, are something like $40,000 per vehicle, and yet they've really plateaued. They've leveled out. And the Biden administration, rather than maybe admitting perhaps there are a lot of customers out there that don't want EVs, no matter how lavishly they subsidize them, their response is, well, let's ban the competition. Let's mandate that people get EVs by restricting the market share of internal combustion vehicles that manufacturers are allowed to sell on an annual basis. And so they've got two sets of rules, one that was developed by California that they gave a waiver to set up their own rules. About 10 states have opted into. I know your state, the governor wants to opt in, but has not yet been able to. And those states are going to go to a total ban on all internal combustion vehicles by 2035. And they've got a 43% mandate for model year 27, which is right around the corner. It's only 2 years away, which is to say in those 10 states, only 57% of all vehicles sold are allowed to be internal combustion vehicles in just 2 years from now, in model year 27. For the rest of the states, though, the Biden administration has EPA mandates that don't quite get to a complete ban, but they do get to about a 70% mandate by 2032, which is to say only about 30% of all vehicles sold in 2032 will be allowed to be internal combustion nationally. And for model year 27, which, as I said, is right around the corner, 2 years away, they have a 32% mandate. So again, it's not as bad as the 43% in those California car states, but if 85 or 90% of people want an internal combustion vehicle and only 68% are allowed to get one thanks to, you know, the EPA rules, you're still going to have a disaster on your hands because you're going to have a lot more people who want gas and diesel vehicles than the manufacturers are allowed to sell them to, which means prices are going to go haywire, EVs are going to stack up on dealers' lots, and not everyone who wants an internal combustion vehicle is going to be able to get one. And so we're looking at a disaster, not just in sort of the medium to long term, but really in the short term, really just 2 years from now. And it's going to be even worse in the California car states, but it's going to be bad everywhere.
Are there even going to be EVs available? We've seen a number of major manufacturers here, Phil, that have been cutting back on the number of EVs that they are producing because, well, people aren't buying them.
Yeah, I think the EVs are going to be available because the manufacturers have mostly shifted their production over to that. And, as you point out, they've scaled back their ambitions considerably, but they've scaled them back because inventories are building. And so if you want an EV, there are a lot of those on dealer lots. What we're already starting to see a shortage of are the non-EV vehicles, and that's what's going to get a lot worse. And so if an EV works for you, it's a good time to be in the market for them, especially the used ones. The prices have really, really plunged. Hertz is selling about half of all of theirs, the rental car agency. So EV prices have come down a lot, especially with all the subsidies, and especially if you're in the market for a used one. It's the people who don't want an EV, they're looking at the real sticker shock right now because we've got a dwindling supply and a lot of demand for them still. And as I said, it's going to get a lot worse over coming years if these mandates are in place.
There's starting to be some pushback. A congressman from Michigan by the name of John James is spearheading a drive. What sort of effort is underway in Congress to dial back the radical environmentalism that we're seeing out of the Biden administration?
Yeah, well, we've actually had successful bipartisan votes in both the House and Senate to ban the EV mandates. I think we got about 15 or 17 Democrats in the House, and I know we had exactly three in the Senate. It was Manchin from West Virginia, Tester from Montana, and the big surprise was Sherrod Brown from Ohio, who never votes against the Greens, but you can tell he's running for his life politically. Your two senators voted with Biden, voted not to overturn the EV mandates, which is disappointing, especially because, you know, Fetterman always talks such a big game about how he's not progressive anymore or whatever, but he didn't vote with us on that one. And, of course, Casey always does whatever Biden wants. But we're going to have another run at it. Thanks to John James, has got the House version of Congressional Review Act resolution to ban the EV mandates, and Pete Ricketts from Nebraska has the Senate version. And the difference between this and the vote that they just had, where it got 52 votes but that wasn't enough, is this one is a privileged motion in the Senate, so it cannot be filibustered. And so probably sometime in September we're going to have this move in the House and Senate. And it will get to the president's desk. I'm pretty optimistic. We'll have majorities in the House and Senate, but I'm hoping we'll have big majorities and we'll have a lot of public pressure behind it, because then we'll really put Biden to the test. And, you know, look, I mean, I don't have any illusion. He probably will veto it, but I think we can make that a very, very unpleasant day, a very painful day for him when it comes to his desk, if we make him choose between something that people really care about and they know about and they're engaged on, and he'll either have to do the right thing and reverse his EV mandates, or if he uses that veto, people will be paying attention, and it'll be one of the things that motivates them on election day. So that's where things stand right now, and we're really putting our efforts into getting in as big a showing as possible on those votes.
And these electric vehicle mandates are not the only area where the federal government under Joe Biden is trying to micromanage our own households, in fact. They're also trying to put standards into place to limit the type of dishwashers and washing machines we have. Any effort to try to reel that back in?
We have had some votes on the appliance standards, and we may have more. It's been a little bit difficult to get people really engaged on that in terms of something where you could get real pressure on the president. I think that those will probably, like a lot of regulations, they'll sort of ride with the presidential. I think if we get Trump back in, we will get, you know, he had a great guy in charge of the Energy Efficiency Division at DOE last time. We can get someone good in there again. We can reverse a lot of these regulations. The challenge, of course, is getting the manufacturers to actually make the devices that people want and the appliances that people want, as opposed to just sort of going along with these things. And so that is a challenge. But I think that those rules, and we have had a House vote on, you know, each of them, things like dishwashers, washing machines, and they've passed, but not with a lot of attention, and we haven't been able to get action in the Senate. So the best chance on those would be a change in administration.
Phil Kirpin is president of American Commitment. Phil, tell us a little bit about American Commitment. Also, where can folks find you on the web?
AmericanCommitment.org is the website. We're a national free market advocacy group. We work really on all the fiscal, economic, and regulatory issues, and we try to develop strategies where a little bit more citizen engagement can make the difference and win some of these fights and tip them in a more free market direction. And if you go to AmericanCommitment.org right now, you'll see one of the main featured items that scrolls through on the top is this Congressional Review Act strategy on the EV mandates that we've been talking about. And we've got a pre-written letter that you can send off as is to your two senators and your member of Congress, or you can edit it however you want, and we'll deliver that for you. And I really do think that, you know, I know you're national with this show, but you based there in Pennsylvania especially, your senators should feel some real heat on this, because there's no reason Pennsylvania senators should be voting to mandate electric vehicles.
Phil Kirpin from American Commitment. Phil, thank you for being with us.
Oh, thanks for having me. Have a great one.